This evening we're going to talk about relationships yet again. All right, and if you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to look at some aspects of relationships that are vitally important. Now, when I say relationships, how many of us know that we have different levels of relationships with different people? Right? Our spouses, like, that is an intensive, attention-intensive relationship. That's one that you have to be keyed into all the time and making sure you're communicating well and on the same page. Say, for example, if you have a an acquaintance, that relationship doesn't really require a lot of maintenance necessarily. So we're talking about, these are going to be the relationships that are most important to us. For me, of course, it's my wife now. It's my daughters. It's their spouses. It's, you know, my grandkids. That's where I am in life. My mother, my sister, some of my siblings. Anyway, so we're talking about relationships that are important to us, okay? So tonight I want to talk about an aspect right off the bat that is important in relationships, and that is loyalty. Loyalty. Okay? Loyalty. How many of y'all know that we're going to get practical? You know, this is my philosophy, church family. Jesus, the Logos, you know, if you look at the Greek word Logos, and it spoke of a Greek abstract concept. So in John 1:1, when it says the Word, the Logos, was with God, and the Word, the Logos, was God, that it talks about an abstract concept. But then in verse 14 of John 1, it says the Word, the Logos, the abstract concept, became flesh, or took upon himself flesh. And that's what Christ, the incarnation, is all about. Making God, this eternal being that cannot be fully understood in this life or in the ages to come. How many of y'all believe that when we get to heaven, we're not even going to begin to scratch the surface of all that is God? We'll have all of eternity to explore the riches and the depths and the heights and everything to know there is about the Lord, but we'll never exhaust that knowledge and wisdom of Him. Can I get a witness? Amen. Amen? So, but that's why we make teachings practical. Because I can just give you a safe little lesson, a generic little lesson on relationships, and just provide a few principles and say, God bless you. But there has to be a tension that needs to be addressed when it comes to relationships. All right? So let's talk about loyalty. Who would like to read verse 10 of Romans chapter 12, please? Romans chapter 12, verse 10.
Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves.
Notice, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. So as we... allow me to ask this obvious question. As believers, are we supposed to have loyalty toward other believers?
Amen.
Yes. You know, we addressed that a couple weeks ago on Wednesday evenings because we said that the Holy Spirit has brought us into a new unity to the body. He has baptized us. He has initiated us. He has, quote unquote, drafted us, made us a part of a larger body of believers called the body of Christ, right? By one Spirit, we were baptized into one body. I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 that says that. And so we are to maintain that relationship. We are to seek to honor that relationship that the Holy Spirit created between us as believers through the bond of peace, right? We looked at how important it was to maintain peace, to not keep the peace, but to make authentic peace. Because listen carefully, we settle for a false sense of peace between each other. One of us, either you or me, in that relationship is going to lose our identity. And that's not God's will. Peacekeepers are people that will always capitulate. Do you know what I mean by the word capitulate? They'll always roll over. They're the ones that are always giving, 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 while the other person's the taker, taker, taker. And pretty soon, that person's going to have resentment in their heart, and one of two things will happen. They'll have to get comfortable losing their identity in that relationship, or you hear about it out of the clear blue. You think that a marriage is great, doing great from all outward appearances, and then one day, one spouse says, I'm out of here. Why? They got tired of losing their identity to some other person that was just taking, 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 and expecting this other person in the relationship to rubber stamp everything with okay that the other party in that relationship wanted. Does that make sense?
Same in a job situation.
So that person will get comfortable, the peacekeeper will get comfortable losing their identity in the relationship, or they'll say, I'm out of here. So it's important that we not settle for peacekeeping, that we go through the effort of truly making peace in a relationship. Okay, so let's talk about loyalty. We should be loyal to one another. You know, I've been here and there. Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love, very challenging minister, but he's spot on. I think he has a good beat on what's happening in the body of Christ, and he's written a book on unity. And I love one of his statements in that book. He says that we Christians have a very shallow understanding of being devoted to one another. Right? Because how many of y'all know that in the body of Christ, well, it was true back in the day. I think there's some progress that some denominations would not eat with a charismatic or a Pentecostal. They would not eat out of the same plate. Right? And yet we sing, and they'll know us, we are Christians, by our what? Love. That's, you know, yesterday I went live on our Locust Grove Church page, and that's kind of what I'm addressing. People hide behind these trappings. You know, we're good as Christians. We become good at shucking and jiving. Once we learn the language, we use it, we proliferate, we abound in that language, and we say, oh, praise the Lord, I love you in the love of the Lord, and, you know, they shall know we are Christians by our love. But when the chips are down, if you don't believe the way I believe about the rapture, then, you know, find yourself another person to love on you. That's how shallow a lot of believers are. Is that really loyalty? That's not really loyalty. I think pastors sometimes, present company excluded, we're happy here, okay, don't, this is nothing here, truly. No one's being thrown under the bus, all right? Some of you are like, oh, yeah, that's a nice change of pace. But you know, pastors experience that often. You know, when a pastor gets new at a church, everybody's like, oh, we love you, we love you, we love you. And the first thing he does that rubs one of the main people in the board of that church or the council of that church rubs him the wrong way. Oh, we don't like him anymore. I don't like him anymore. This still to this day blows my mind. The church was growing in attendance. We had tens of thousands being socked away in these CDs, certificates of deposit, and even he said, you know, what if Jesus Christ comes back tomorrow? Why would we be sitting on this mint when we could be using it to reach people for the gospel? Amen. So the attendance at the church building was full. We had to open the side of the sanctuary, use some of the Sunday school classes as we had to put new seating there so that more people could sit there. We were having baptisms regularly, people coming to the Lord. And still, listen carefully, still, there were a couple of church members that would go to the president of the council of the church and say, I didn't like what pastor was wearing on Sunday. I'm like, you guys are squalling little brats. And then when the Lord called us out of there, oh, people are crying. The same ones that were complaining about petty little stuff are the same ones that are crying, Pastor, I hate to see you. Oh, get out of here. You disingenuous person, get out of here. You know nothing of loyalty. That was one of my pet peeves in ministry, boy. I just got tired of that. You know, people are, as Katy Perry sings, you're hot and you're cold, you're up and you're down. What is it today? What is your mood today? Are you going to be loyal? Are you going to have the vision of the Lord? Are you going to be rejoicing in the fact that people are coming to this church? No loyalty. You know what? You can have that church, buddy, because it's not God's church. It's apparent to me that it's only the church of a couple of grumblers that are in positions of authority in that place. Amen? It's unbelievable, but it happened. Well, I keep threatening I'm going to write a book, and then everybody's going to get thrown under the bus. No, I'm teasing. Anyway, so loyalty is important. Now, here's a statement that we need to understand that I learned from my pastor many years ago. I was a teenager, in fact, when I learned this statement, but I have not really, to be honest with you, I've not really implemented that statement until my later years, until my adult years, because I've seen the wisdom of it. Now more than ever, I see the wisdom of the statement, and that is, choose your friends, don't let your friends choose you. How important is that? You choose your friends, don't let your friends choose you. Right? I have found that as a pastor, sometimes through the course of ministry, you know, some people want to become good friends with you, and that's great. But I've ultimately reserved, listen carefully, I hope you see the wisdom of this and not take offense. I've ultimately reserved who I choose to allow into my inner circle. You know, there's just some people you trust. I have my own little prayer circle. I'm not going to say who it is in the church that I'll confide personal information with, and I think that's the extent that it needs to go. But I have learned the wisdom of choosing the ones I want to open my heart to, that I feel safe with, come on somebody, instead of people deciding they want to be my friend and making me feel like I'm obligated to accept them into my inner circle. You know, another observation I've made in relationships, the older I get, the smaller my inner circle becomes. I have friends all over the country. I'll say hi, I'll say bye, might see them at races, road races, runners, you know, whatever. But I won't entrust my heart to them, right? We have to be very careful who we choose in our inner circle. There's this guy that's a friend of mine, and, you know, back, I'd say 20 years, we met when I was 19, and he was 19 as well, and we've hit it off. We've had this ongoing relationship. He lives in El Paso. He didn't know that we were in El Paso, and I'll tell you why, because as the years have gone by, that sucker just calls me, not to check up on me. He calls me when he just wants to dump on me. That, my friends, is not a true friend. And when he calls and I'm not available to answer, he'll keep calling and calling and calling and calling. And I'm thinking, I'll look at my phone when I finally get to my phone. If I've been away from it, it's like 5 missed calls. And they're all within 30 seconds of each other. I'm like, really? I mean, this guy is really a pill. So I don't call him right back. I wait a day or two, and then when I'm good and ready, I'll call him. How many of y'all know that he needs to cool his jets? See what I'm saying, church family? I don't want you to feel bad. I'm not in the inner circle. Bless the Lord. Listen to me, church family. There's wisdom in what I'm telling you. There has to be loyalty as believers, yes. But that does not mean that every believer has got to become our prayer partner. Thank you for understanding. Right? I'm a very private person. How many of y'all have discovered that I'm a very private person? I used to have a few loving, present company excluded, a few loving members that would hit me up on my day off, wanting to know what I was going to do my day off. First of all, if it's my day off, I don't like receiving phone calls and I don't like receiving texts that are just unimportant. Is that okay to say? Don't look. I thought you were a better pastor than that. No, I want to guard my personal time. And they wanted to know what I was going to do for the day. And I'm like, why? What business is that of yours? Why are you so interested in my personal life? Or if I'm on vacation and they knew the day I was going to come back, that last day they would be texting, trying to call, what time are you going to be home? I'm like, who cares? The day ends at midnight, and as far as I know, I'm still on vacation till midnight. Is that sensible, church family? Am I being reasonable, or am I being a poor little pastor because I was not appeasing somebody's curiosity?
And,
that's understandable. But just to want to find out about my doom. Sorry. You know, I have found out that all the world's problems would be solved if people would just stay in their own lane. It's that simple. It's that simple, right? And if not, then I'll do with some people as I do with Cindy's cat, and I'll just shove them off of my couch because I'm allergic to them. So anyway, so what am I saying? We just have to exercise wisdom who we choose to come into a closer relationship with us. Do you see the wisdom of that, right? We're trying to protect, listen, because in relationships, there are going to have to be boundaries. Who believes that there are going to have to be boundaries? We've all heard the saying that good fences make good what? Neighbors. Good fences make good neighbors, right? And what a boundary is, listen carefully, I'm going to define a personal boundary to you. A personal boundary is something that defines me and defines you. It shows me what is mine, what I'm responsible for, and it shows me what is you, what you're responsible for. It shows me what is me and what is not me. And it shows me what is you and what is not you. Right? I remember as a young pastor, you're always going to have, I once heard a friend of mine say that ministry is messy. Let me tell you, ministry is messy. And I remember this, there was this one young gal that was married to this real jerk, if I can say it that way. That was back in Kansas. I was in my late 20s and still kind of wet behind the ears. And, you know, I don't think I'd experienced something like this to this magnitude. And so the young lady wanted to talk to me and my wife at the time. And we said, why don't you just have her meet us at the house? And so we met her at the house, and she went on talking. Well, basically what she did, what this young gal did, she did not need help. She took us through this story of her life, which was full of drama. This young gal was amplifying the drama in her life. How many of y'all know that some people, they're so messed up that they thrive on drama? They live on it. That is their daily bread. And if there is no drama in their lives, they will create the drama. They will keep the drama going. They will amplify the drama. And as many people as they can drag through it, you know, she was taking us through these little, what seemed like these, it looked like a Dateline mystery, like, ooh, twists and turns. And I'm an educated man, but I don't have a clue what you just babbled for the last 5 minutes. And so I finally put my foot down and I told the gal, I said, so how do you want us to help you? Well, I just wanted to explain the situation. When we were done with her, I told the wife at the time, I said, look, I'm not doing this again, not with her. If you want to do it, and my ex, which was a little more codependent at the time, I can say it now, I was out of that, because I thought, this girl just wants the attention. And ministry to me is much more valuable. There are more people that have greater needs than paying audience to somebody's stupid drama. Can I get a witness? Well, where's loyalty and all that? That is loyalty. Don't you think that's loyalty to the call of God? We're supposed to be devoted to one another in love, but church family, that doesn't mean be dumb and just have people drag you everywhere they want to take you.
Amen.
Thank you. See, I was born at night. I just wasn't born last night. Right? I know I'm young looking. So let's continue with this. Loyalty is important. We are to show loyalty, but listen, to the extent, this is one of the keys that I try to follow in ministry. You know, there a while back, there was some concern about why I wasn't concerned about people that have left our church in the process. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, did Jesus go after people that he lost? Thank you, Miss Robin. A lost lamb. But the people that were offended with him, he let them go. He even invited the other 12. In John chapter 6, he said, do you guys want to join them too? Listen, that's right, Peter. You have the words of life. Listen, I don't play that game, because to me, I don't have sentimental value. If they're going to leave here, then leave. I'll bless you going out. And if you're going to malign my name, which in one case was done, you know, it really bugs me. I reached out to a person through text on the encouragement of another church member that's here, one of our leaders. And so I reached out to this one person through text. I said, hey, do we need to talk about something? Are you okay? No response, but I hear through the grapevine. Of course, my name's being kicked around like a soccer ball in an open field. Listen, that to me, church family, and don't edit this out, Miss Sheila, that is cowardly. I don't play those games. I showed you respect by talking to you, and you're not going to show me the same respect by talking to me. You're going to talk about me instead. Anybody can do that, man. Yoo-hoo! Oh, Pastor Joe, I love coming to Bible study because you sure like to beat up on people. I just call it like it is. Is that okay, church family? That's all I'm doing. Isn't that kind of what a Bible teacher does? Connect the dots? Or I could just stand here and give a safe lesson. Let's be loyal to one another in the coming weeks. There are some that might be tougher than others to love, but by God's grace, we can love them. Give me a break. That nauseates me. That nauseates me. I live in a real world. Don't you, church family? Okay? So loyalty is important in relationships. Okay? And we've talked about boundaries. Can we pursue boundaries a little more? So we broach boundaries. Boundaries will protect us. Boundaries serve two purposes. They protect us and they define us. Who's ever had to follow job descriptions in your life? Who's found that the more clear job descriptions, the easier they were to follow? The more clear the job description, they were easier to follow. The more clear your boundaries are, they are easier to follow. Right? They're easier to follow. And so we have to decide, listen carefully, this is where we have to look to the Lord, to the Lord's Spirit for wisdom in particular relationships, what we are willing to put up with and what we're not willing to put up with. Yes or no? Because I see a lot of things that people put up with in Christianity, church family, that the Lord doesn't expect us to put up with. One of the issues with this young gal in Kansas was she was letting her husband beat the crap out of her physically. And she got this dumb advice by another pastor that said, let him beat you up. If he kills you, at least you go to heaven. I said, what? True story. Not making this up. I said, a pastor told you that? Yes. And I said, and you're still in the relationship? I said, girl, you are dumber than a box of rocks. Get out for your sake and your kid's sake. All he wants me for is sex. Don't edit it out. I said, well, we know what place you, what role you have in his life. There's a lot that goes on, church family. I'm telling you, behind closed doors, that when they're in public, the couple's in public, oh, I'm a Christian. You know, the Bible says the second commandment of the Ten Commandments, do not use the Lord's name in vain. You know, with the number one way we profane the Lord's name most is by professing something we do not possess. We claim to be Christians. We claim to love God when our actions don't show any of it. You're going to come to church and act smug and act tough while I'm preaching and have your arms folded because your wife ratted you out and she told you that she ratted you out to me and my wife at the time. I mean, her husband would sit there like a swelled up toad. You know what, kid? You don't intimidate me. I can beat your little butt. The shorter kid. But he sure was a big man when he beat up his wife. Come on, somebody. No. Don't you just love it? I just look around people. Some of your eyes are like, he can't do that. We will serve one another out of fear for the Lord. Ephesians 5, right? We're not going to attack each other. But it happens. I'm not saying it happens commonly. Trust me, 30 years of ministry have proven to me that the body of Christ, needs an enema. God, I thought you would laugh at that one. God needs to flush out all the turds from the body. What, honey? Coffee enema. They're effective with me. We'll leave it alone. I feel like I'm in a hit and run position. If you watch baseball, you know what that is. A hit and run. You're ready to... That's right. So, boundaries are important. If we're going to maintain the relationships that are most important to us, right, church family? Boundaries are important. Communication is important. Let me say something about, since we're already in this, communication relationships is not speaking all your mind all the time. How many of y'all know, I was just reading Proverbs 10:19, and I love that. I'm going to quote it on Sunday morning. Proverbs 10:19 out of the New Living Translation, if you want to check me out, Miss Nola. It says, much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and shut your mouth. New Living Translation. Much talk leads to sin. Who's found out that the more you talk, the more you open yourself up to saying something you should not say, something that you'll regret having said? Guilty. Pretty simple, huh? So in relationships, I can't just speak all my mind. I can't just tell someone, give them a piece of my mind. Is that wise? There's another proverb. I don't know where it's at right now off the top of my head, but it says, even a fool is considered wise if they just keep their mouth shut. You know, gosh, I know we have the freedom of speech, but man, in life in the kingdom is different. I'm not going to say all I want. So we have to be careful. We have to exercise wisdom in what we say. You know, I don't like the attitude that says I'm wipe free in 21. Who's ever heard that before? If you haven't. Oh, do you use that often, sir? No. Well, you are wife free in 21. Right, that's right. But I'm talking like in coming to saying anything that comes into my mind is going to come out of my mouth. No. And this is from the pastor that likes to keep it R rated. But they keep coming back. Look at the numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. So the ends don't justify the means, right? It is what it is. Anyway, so we have to communicate properly. We have to keep loyalty in mind. We have to keep our circle of influence, our inner circle, smaller in relationships. We have to keep boundaries intact at all times. Am I right, church family? We have to keep those strong because that keeps good relationships in good repair all the time. Right? If you want a good relationship, you have to have boundaries. There are some things we will not tolerate. But, and then communication. So what things are we going to communicate about? Listen, I have found, this has been on my heart a lot. People who understand the power of words will use them very sparingly. People who understand the power of blessings will use blessings very generously. You know, I have deliberately, when the girls, they can tell you, when all three of my daughters were young, I would deliberately speak blessings over them. They didn't know what was going on, but I would deliberately, I would say, Sophie, you are so smart. I said, Sophie, I bet there is nothing that can stop you in any endeavor that you want to pursue in life, because God is in you, God is for you, and I believe in you, and you can do it. And those three girls, they're doing their own thing. You know, they have no limits. But anyway, you know, so we speak blessings abundantly. I do that with Cindy all the time on purpose. I'll say, babe, you are so beautiful. And she is. Sometimes I just look at her and I'm like, wow, she is strikingly beautiful. Or she'll do something very gracious and I'll pounce on it, you know. How many of y'all know that this world is upside down, that we normally get other people's attention when they do wrong rather than when they do something right? It is getting worse. So when I see Cindy doing something right, I'm like, babe, wow, you just blessed me. And I always tell her, I'm so thankful for you. I'm so blessed to have you. What kind of difference do you think that would make in a marriage if that happened regularly? But listen carefully, we are so conditioned to being criticized that when someone tells us they want to talk to us, what's the first thing that comes up on the inside? Oh, great, what did I do wrong? And then we start thinking in our mind, was it this? Did I say something? And it has nothing to do with nothing. But we've been conditioned to think that way. So, it's just a word of caution, you know, how we address people. You know, we just have to be careful what we say to other people. I would consider thinking of our words as a loaded gun. Is that too drastic of an example? I mean, that's what it is. You know, you can really do a lot of damage. You know how many years it took for me and my brothers to get rid of the curses that were spoken to us ignorantly by some of the people that were over us when we were growing up? Took a lot of years of listening to the word and letting the word wash us through and through of those curses. You know, curses are real. I'm not talking about witchcraft curses. You know, those are real as well. I'm talking about people telling you, you're no good, you're no good, you're never mount up to this. And trust me, that happens all the time. And I just have to watch out. I don't have to tolerate that. You know, it's just unbelievable. And Cindy, since Sunday, she's just been saying over and over again, I'll just love him from a distance. I'll just love him from a distance. I've got to be careful what I teach. That girl is a little sponge spiritually, and she's still finding her way in Christ. And she'll just say, well, I'll just love him from a distance. Babe, there are some people you have to love in person. I'll love him from a distance. So, all right. All right. Was this a blessing? Was this good? I wasn't in your face too much. Okay, another episode of As the World Turns, Wednesday night Bible studies. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness to us this evening. We receive this word into our spirits, and we're ever so thankful. In Jesus' name.